this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. With these podcasts, Father Vasquez provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step, the New Year's Eve edition of the next step. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, well, about just about everything. We look at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner. We call that Armadoxy, and we invite you now to sit back, kick back, whatever it takes, and enjoy the next few minutes with us. This podcast is being brought to you by as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and brought to you by the good folks at Epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, of course you're ready. I know I'm ready. It's the end of the year. Can you believe it? We are at the end of 2010. Now, I told you my theory. I really am now thinking about this more and more. You know, when they say that time really goes faster now, and we're already at the end of the year, I shared that theory with you. I'm just surprised that scientists haven't picked up on it. But I blame it on lithium batteries. It has to be. I mean, you know, life was good when we just had the Duracells, you know, when we just had regular carbon batteries. Oh, yeah. Life was ultimately good when you just wound up your watch. And then whenever it stopped, you know, you'd have no problem. You'd just go back and you'd wind it again, and then you'd be back on time. And then they came up with these battery-operated watches. Okay, well, we had these carbon batteries, and they were okay. You know, you'd stick it inside your watch, and, you know, it would run for a while. Then they had the Duracell, the long-term batteries. I think it took, like, a few years before they wore out. Now they're talking about lithium-ion batteries. I think that's it. I think that's why time is going by so much faster now. In fact, I guarantee it. It has to be. You know, I mean, there's no other reason. You start off the year, and then the next thing you know, you're playing Christmas carols, and it's the end of the year. Well, here we are today. We are at the end of the year. It is the end of 2010. We are a day off of Christmas Eve, the eve of Christmas Eve, and I'm just so happy to be with you. I'm glad you're joining us today. We hope you're going to have a good time today as we go through this New Year's Eve together on this podcast. We've got all the usual crew and cast over here. We've got Ani with her bubbles. We're going to be talking today about, well, some of the insanity that's going on in the world. But an insanity in the Einsteinian. Yeah, you didn't know I could pull that off, did you? We're going to be talking about the insanity that Einstein warned us about. And, of course, we're going to be recapping what's happened in... Actually, we'll start off with a recap of what's happened during the Christmas week. But I do... Some of you who are more astute listeners of the podcast may notice my voice has changed a little. Ken's got me hooked up to a new microphone today. We've got a Plantonic. Is that it? Plantonic. I guess we do have some geeky members of the podcast world listening in. So just so you know what I'm using a new Plantonic microphone, and it seems pretty decent. I mean, it sits on me pretty nicely. It's well, we'll see. We'll see if you like it. I kind of like the old one. It just sat on my desk, and it was just huge. This is kind of like one of those you'd see in like one of those offices. Anyway, Ken tells me it's a better deal, so we're giving it a shot. You may notice a little difference in my voice today because of that. But whether you hear a difference in the voice, you know it's the same guy, right? And that same guy's coming to you today. Anyway, I want to share with you some of the things that have happened over the past couple weeks, several weeks, and kind of use it as a platform to launch this New Year's Eve podcast, because, you know, like I said, it's an opportunity for us to look back, it's an opportunity for us to look forward, dream forward, and when we talk about dreaming, it's so essential for us to really understand that dreams do become reality when we wake up, and that's so important. You can dream all you want, but you need to take that first step to actualize those dreams by waking up, by saying that, yes, I am going to put that dream into action, and that's where I'm coming from today. Because something happened to me last Sunday as I was giving my sermon. It was really a turning point during the sermon because I realized that my dream had come true. And before I go there, let me just share with you some of the things that have taken place over the past month. You know, several years ago, we came up with this concept of In His Shoes. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I do give the credit to a group of young people that got together and really studied themselves as genocide survivors. And not that they had gone through genocide, but they're parents, their grandparents had struggled through genocide, and here they were in America, and we had organized this small little retreat to really talk about identity, definitions, and this young group of people got together, or this group of young people. Yes, which one's the young? Yes, the group or the people? Well, the people were young, and actually the group was just starting, and how would you define yourself? How would you define yourself in America with all the things bombarding you? How would you define yourselves in the context of your own history? They said the only way to put it, this took quite a bit of deliberation, but they came up with this small little model, and it's called In His Shoes. Because the only way that we can make sense out of such a horrific past, which included genocide, is by walking in the shoes of others who are going through the same pain today. And it was remarkable because we launched the In His Shoes campaign, mission, ministry. We still are playing with the idea of where it's evolving to, because it's catching on. And from the listeners to this podcast, to people in our own area, people are connecting with that idea of In His Shoes. And the idea is really simple. You can talk about love all you want, but you can't really love somebody until you first understand that person. And in fact, that understanding implies some type of respect for that other person. Well, how do you respect that person? By walking in their shoes, feeling their pain. And this is a very ancient Armenian concept when you think about it, because even today, one of the most popular, let's say, sayings, when you get to Armenia, it's very noticeable, in fact. One of the most popular sayings is Tsavadanem, which means, let me take your pain, let me feel your pain, let me understand you. I mean, it's really wild when you think about it, how it came together. And so walking in the shoes of others has launched this campaign of reaching out to other people. And this Christmas season, I was very, very moved. First of all, we had a toy drive, and these toys went not just to underprivileged children, but specifically to children who were in shelters, children who had felt the ravage of genocide. Well, in a sense, yes, these were children in shelters because of domestic violence. You think about domestic violence, you certainly don't think of genocide, but you look at what happened when Christ was born, the first genocide, when Herod decided the killing of the innocent, the children are being killed. They're always the targets, right? And even in the cases of war, it's always, you don't see the presidents getting out on the battlefield and duking it out. That you don't see them like drawing swords. You don't see them pulling guns on other people. What do? They send the children. The children go and fight the wars, and it's the kids that are always the innocent, the ones that end up shedding their blood. And we targeted a group of kids in the Los Angeles County shelters, and these are children probably the most severely neglected, most abused children, and the ones that were definitely not going to have any type of a Christmas. And we targeted them, and we took them gifts on the tune of just over 500. And I got to tell you, now, who are the people that are giving these gifts? These are children of genocide survivors, grandchildren of genocide survivors. We raised money, we raised resources, awareness for the homeless population here in Los Angeles County. And here were a group of Armenian people. Again, I'm using the ethnic. Why? Not because Armenians are something special, but because we are making the link to the genocide. In other words, after something so horrific as genocide happening to you, you need to make sense out of life. And how do you do that? Some people would argue that it's impossible. I argue that the power of good is always, always more powerful than all the power of evil in the world. Well, if I'm going to argue that, I've got to show that. I've got to show that the power of love is more powerful than than anything hatred can throw out at you. And obviously, the greatest hatred is manifest in genocide, right? Well, okay, here's a group of Armenians that got together once a month and took food out to the homeless population. Over 3,000 people were fed through our program on the streets of Los Angeles last year. We're clothed on the streets of Los Angeles. Now, what's so special about this? Well, this same group of people, the Armenians, just a few years ago were noted as the hungry Armenians, the starving Armenians, and now their children are feeding the starving on the streets. In other words, I'm showing that, I'm making the reference to the Armenians, not just to say, oh, Armenians are doing this or that. Who cares? It could be anybody else. What I'm showing is that there is a resurrection. There always is a resurrection as long as you believe, as long as you're able to take that faith that you have and transfer it into belief. You got me so far. Now follow me out. This is moving forward at remarkable light speed. I mean, we've got the lithium battery in right now because it only gets better. On Christmas Eve, I shared with you a few months ago about the story of a young lady who was in a coma, and she came out of the coma to meet her newly born child, and they came to church, and during the communion process, when she came up to receive Holy Communion, she thanked me for the prayers, and all of a sudden I realized that here was one that was sick, one who was dead and is alive again. And you understand the power of resurrection at moments like that. You understand how monumental of a thing it must have been when Christ was up on the cross, beaten, killed, and then put into a tomb. And for sure that tomb was locked forever. And the next day you see him in your presence. You can understand the feelings. You can understand the emotions that must have taken place back there 2,000 years ago when a similar situation happens right in front of your eyes. You see somebody who is in a hospital bed and you've basically written that person off by all accounts of the world. And that person comes up and stands in front of you praising God and saying that, thank you. Thank you for what? For your prayers. Not for you. For your prayers. Thank you for believing. Now remember that, okay? Because we took this same young lady, and last Friday night, we had a small Christmas Eve service where she was dressed up as Mother Mary. Her child, her newly born child, who they named Harashk, which in Armenian means miracle, played the part of Jesus, and of course her husband as Joseph. And we had all the children all around them. And this was an incredibly moving, emotional evening. We had everybody all around us, everybody praying, and everybody praising as we sang Christmas carols. And it all came together because I realized that at that moment, it wasn't a question of faith that we had. Okay? A lot of us have faith. This is really important. Listen to the difference in this. But it's believing in that faith. There's a difference between faith, and there's a difference between faith and belief. And we believed. You see, the miracle that young lady gave us was not that she came out of that hospital bed. The real miracle is we started believing again. And that's what I'm celebrating today. Okay, all this prelude that I gave you on what's going on during the Christmas season leads up to this. Is the real miracle is not that this woman came out of her hospital bed. It's not that the homeless were fed on the streets. It's not that the children were given toys. The real miracle is we start believing again. We start believing that it is possible to win the wars without picking up guns, but on the power of love. We start believing that despite how much we've been slapped around, that the power of good will always overcome the power of evil. We start believing that love is more powerful than all the hatred in the world. And that's what I'm celebrating today. That's the miracle that came out of all of this. That we were able to transform our faith into an actual real belief. A belief in our dreams. A belief in God. And I'm challenging you today. You know, we are at the end of the year. And at the end of the year, this is a time for inventorying. You've got an opportunity now to really take that faith that you've had and move it into a belief system. Into a belief that, yes, you can do anything when you have that power of love. When you have that power of God on you. Now, you want to go a little bit more? Okay, bear with me. Oh, we've gone quite a ways, and Ken's been flagging me down for the last several minutes saying, hey, we've got to get to the song of the day. Okay, how about the song of the day for today? I picked out something really nice today. It's called Dag Harutyan Nor Tzarig. Basically, it's a song of resurrection to the new flower. And this is done by the Quartet of Duduks. The duduk is a double reed instrument. Beautiful sound. Enjoy. Did I tell you you'd enjoy it? Wasn't that beautiful? Yes, that instrument is called the duduk. Sometimes it is referred to as ziranapol, which means the apricot flute, of course referring to the wood with which it is made, from the apricot tree, indigenous to Armenia, of course. Double reed instrument. We'll put a little link on our show notes today so you could pick up the CD. It is called Dal Harutyan Dal Nordzarik, the Song of Resurrection and the New Flower. How appropriate for a new year coming up on us. And you know, we're still in the old year, and I left you before the song with this idea of where we're at and how important it is for us to really inventory. Now we're going to take, all along in these next steps, we take our cues from religion, from Jesus, from different models of spirituality, right? How about if I give you a model from American business? Are you ready? Yes, a model from American business. Okay. Now, before you accuse sacrilege or what's going on over here, hey, we thought you were a cool guy. Now you're trying to insert your capitalism and everything. Now, listen to this. Something interesting happens. First of all, over here in America, we have these dates that are shopping dates. And last week, I was interviewed on a television show here in Glendale, and you know, the commentator makes the typical questioning at Christmas time. Don't you think that Christmas is commercialized? You know, don't you think that it is? I mean, you know, the ultimate rhetorical question, right? You know, isn't Christmas commercialized? Well, of course it is. Come on, folks. Yeah, Jesus Christ was born. So what do? We spend billions of dollars on buying gifts and everything. Of course it is. Everybody knows it, okay? But think of it this way, too. You talk about Christ being the giver of life. And do you know what gives life to, well, a capitalist country such as the United States? The economy, obviously. Actually, you could argue that it's not only a virtue of capitalism, right? Economy is the lifeblood of all people, of communities, of society. You need that economy to be robust. Well, think about it. Thanks to the Christmas buying season, the economy lives. The economy goes forward. In fact, a lot of times the American economy is gauged by the Christmas buying habits of the people. They look at it and they say, well, it was a great time for the economy. The economy is going to prosper because of the Christmas time. So think about it. Thanks to Christ, thanks to this Christmas season, the economy is jump-started. The economy gets blood in it. Gets some new red blood cells, green blood cells in there, huh? Think about it for a moment. Yeah, a lot of things to thank Christ for. I know, this is sacrilege. I know, this. You don't want to hear this kind of stuff. You want to hear about Jesus being away in a manger. You want to hear about the incense going up to heaven and everything. But challenge yourself. Think about it. Think outside the box. I mean, look at everything, how connected everything is. And yes, it's the Christ that we believe in. It's the Christ that we have faith in. And it's also the Christ that gives life to us spiritually, but very much physically as well. Very much physically as well. The economy relies on this Christmas season. Okay, I said we're going to go and come to American business. Well, part of that economy system is what? Is selling. You're buying and selling. All right, now think about what happens. On Thanksgiving, which is right towards the end of November, on that Friday, it's called Black Friday, and this year I participated in that. Oh boy, did I participate. My kids got me up at 4 in the morning, and we ran out to the stores. Just madhouse. Never seen anything like that. I mean, I've lived in the United States all these years. I've never experienced anything like that. People just like rushing in and out and in and out of these stores, buying stuff. I remember the scene. It was at Target, which is a chain retailer here in the United States. At Target, I'm 4 in the morning going up to the front door. There are people walking out with big screen TVs. I'll never forget that sight in my head. Well, anyway, I had to experience this. I had to see it. And just for the record, I did not buy anything that morning. I refused to stand in the lines like cattle. Or as my dad would say, they've trained us to think like ants. They have us marked off, and we're in these long, long lines. What? To do what? To give our money. You stand in line to give your money, yes. So anyway, I refused that morning to do that, but I had to observe this. I had to be a first-hand observer to this. This is called Black Friday. Now, the Monday after is called Cyber Monday. Cyber because you get to do your shopping on Monday. And so, of course, now you had retailers, the brick-and-mortar retailers, and then on Monday you have your cyber retailers, your e-tailers, the people who are doing all of their work electronically, selling, buying, and everything. Okay, each of these are opportunities to bring money into the economy. Well, throughout the Christmas season, many different sales, year-end sales and so on, take place, Christmas sales. And then here's the next one, December 26th. Because everybody's bought everything now on December 26th, and this is the model that I want to share with you today as Next Step listeners. I want you to think outside the box and realize that this is not sacrilege, but this is a model for us to really learn so much from. What do they do on December 26th? Everything that the retailers have that did not sell for Christmas, they mark down and they try to liquidate it. They don't want the inventory. They call it inventory liquidation. They call it year-end sale. They call it after Christmas sale. All the different names that they give. But here's the idea. It's stuff that nobody wanted. They could not sell. And they're, what are they doing? They're dumping it. Before the new year, they want to get rid of it. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, think about your lives. Think about what we do at the end of the year. Think about what we should be doing at this mark of time. Taking everything that did not sell and dumping it. I'm not talking about yard sales. I'm not talking about putting your stuff up on eBay. I'm talking about your lives. I'm talking about your personalities, about your characters, about what's inside of you. Because all that excess baggage that we carry along with us, whether it comes from our past, whether it comes from when we were brought up, our relationships that we have, relationships that we've lost to death, to divorce, to all kinds of difficulties that we've had in our lives, whatever the past is, it is the past. And at some point, you need to package that all up and dump it. Give it away. Get rid of it. And the year-end sale is exactly that. It's all the stuff that the retailers don't want. What do? They mark it down because it's worthless. You got it? The stuff that didn't sell is worthless to them. It's easier for them to sell it than to keep it as inventory for the new year. Same thing with you. It's easier for you to just dump it than for you to take it as baggage for the new year. That's a tremendous, tremendous message for us today. Because that message is something that each of us can relate to. We have so many difficulties that come with us in our life. We have so much baggage, so many things that take over our lives. And those things need to be dumped, jettisoned. Okay, if you can sell it, sell it. Give it to somebody. But you don't need it. Because to start the new year, you want to start fresh. It is just a mark in time, but it's an appropriate mark in time. It tells us that we're going to go around the sun one more time. Okay, how do you want to go around the sun one more time? Do you want to bring all that baggage with you? Do you want to be weighted down? Or do you want to give it away? The retailers are smart. There's no use for it. They're not going to sell those same items until next year. So why carry that stuff? Why fill up their storage houses, their storage bins with this stuff? Give it away. Get rid of it. Make room for the new inventory. It's fantastic. American business works like this. And now we, yes, the spiritual community, have something to learn from them. Interesting, if you can think out of the box. A couple weeks ago, I don't know if I shared this with you. A couple weeks ago was my dear father confessor at our church, Father Gurken Muradyan. It was the first year of his passing. It was an anniversary of his passing. This dear man was the abbot father of the monastery at Khorvirab. This is the actual pit where St. Gregory the Illuminator was imprisoned back in 301 AD. And Father Gurken, about 15 years ago, he had come to the United States. And when he came, he found his place next to me. I was serving at a parish in Pasadena at the time. And he came in very humbly, a great man, very humbly. He asked if he could he could celebrate the liturgy by sitting there, by being a presence there. And together we spent the last 15 years praying together, 6 years in Pasadena, the last 7 years, 8 years in Glendale. He would be next to me. He was a father confessor, a wise old man, just a dear man to be with. And he passed away last year, December 2009. And this year was the first year of his passing. And on that Sunday when we were going to have the Requiem Mass, I thought to myself, hey, you know what? I'm going to wear his vestments today as a reminder, as a small memorial to him. And so I put his vestments on. He had left me a few vestments, and he had left me his cross, his pectoral cross, the cross that he used to wear. So I had this, and I put this on as well. I had his vestments. And here's the interesting thing I wanted to share with you. Is that I did the entire liturgy, and you know what? Those vestments or those cross did not remind me of him. I went through the entire liturgy, and at many moments I would think about him. But it wasn't the clothes, it wasn't the physical things that reminded me of him. It was his kind words. It was his kind expressions. It was his kindness, the thoughts, the jokes that he would tell me, the stories from his real life that he'd look with his eyebrows raised and his beautiful white hair telling me that, you know, I've been through a lot and you can go through a lot. And why I'm saying this is it ties in right with that economy lesson that I gave you a few minutes ago. It's not the stuff that makes us. The stuff needs to be put away. It's not the cloak. It's not the cross. It's the memories. It's the sweetness of life that we share with one another. Whether it's between a husband and wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whether it's between children and their parents, whether it's you with a loved one, whoever it may be, or even somebody that you don't know, somebody that you meet in passing. Come and look at the blogs that some of our bloggers write after they go out to feed the homeless. People that they meet out on the streets. There's the most beautiful one that Anush did. And in fact, I'm asking Ani to make that as part of her bubbles in a few weeks. Just a beautiful one. Talking about people that you meet on the streets. And those relationships, that love that God puts in our heart, that's what lasts forever. That love lasts forever, not the things. And the things are just the trappings, the ornaments on the tree. They are not the tree. You got it? Oh, I love this. I'm having a fun time over here. Can you tell it's a great end of the year, end of the year sequence for me? Well, this music tells us that it's time for me to clear my throat, and it's also time for Ani with her bubbles. Here's today's installment of Ani's Bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is about a little boy and a simple prayer by Peggy Porter. My son Gilbert was 8 years old and had been in the Cub Scouts only a short time. During one of his meetings, he was handed a sheet of paper, a block of wood, and 4 tires, and told to return home and give it all to Dad. That was not an easy task for Gilbert to do. Dad was not receptive to doing things with his son, but Gilbert tried. Dad read the paper and scoffed at the idea of making a Pinewood Derby car with his young, eager son. The block of wood remained untouched as the weeks passed. Finally, Mom stepped in to see if she could figure this all out. And so we began the project. Having no carpentry skills, I decided it would be best if I simply read the directions and let Gilbert do the work. And he did. I read aloud all the measurements, the rules of what we could and couldn't do, and within days his block of wood was turning into a Pinewood Derby car. A little lopsided, but looking great, at least through the eyes of Mom. Gilbert had not seen any of the other kids' cars and was feeling pretty good about his. Blue Lightning, he called it, the pride that comes with knowing you did something on your own. Then the big night came. With his blue Pinewood Derby in his hand and the pride in his heart, we headed to the big race. Once there, my little one's pride turned to humility. Gilbert's car was obviously the only car made entirely on his own. All of the other cars were father-son partnership, with cool paint jobs and sleek body styles made for speed. A few of the other boys giggled and looked at Gilbert's lopsided, wobbly, unattractive vehicle. To add to the humility, Gilbert was the only boy without a man at his side. A couple of the boys who were from single-parent homes at least had an uncle or a grandfather by their side, but Gilbert had Mom. As the race began, it was done in an elimination fashion. You kept racing as long as you were the winner. One by one, the cars raced down the finely sanded ramp. It was between Gilbert and the sleekest, fastest-looking car there. As the last race was about to begin, my wide-eyed, shy 8-year-old asked if they could stop the race for a minute, because he wanted to pray. So the race stopped. Gilbert hit his knees, clutching his funny-looking block of wood between his hands. With a wrinkled brow, he set to converse with his father. He prayed in earnest for a very long minute and a half. Then he stood, a smile on his face, and announced, "Okay, I'm ready." As the crowd cheered, a boy named Tommy stood with his father as their car sped down the ramp. Gilbert stood with his father within his heart, and watched his block of wood wobble down the ramp with surprisingly great speed and rushed over the finish line a fraction of a second before Tommy's car. Gilbert leaped into the air with a loud thank you as the crowd roared in approval. The scoutmaster came up to Gilbert with a microphone in hand and asked the obvious question. "So you prayed to win, huh, Gilbert?" To which my son answered, "Oh no, sir. That wouldn't be fair to ask God to help me beat someone else. I just asked him to make it so I wouldn't cry if I lost." Children seem to have wisdom far beyond us. Gilbert didn't ask God to win the race. He didn't ask God to fix the outcome. Gilbert asked God to give him the strength in the outcome. When Gilbert first saw the other cars, he didn't cry out to God, "No fair, they had a father's help." No. He went to his father for strength. Perhaps we spend too much of our prayer time asking God to rig the race, to make us number one, or too much time asking God to remove us from the struggle, when we should be seeking God's strength to get us through the struggle. "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Gilbert's simple prayer spoke volumes to those present that night. He never doubted that God would indeed answer his request. He didn't pray to win and thus hurt somebody else. He prayed that God supply the grace to lose with dignity. Gilbert, by stopping the race to speak to his father, also showed the crowd that he wasn't there without a dad, but his father was most definitely there with him. Yes, Gilbert walked away a winner that night, with his father at his side. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Very appropriate. Oh, I love it. Yes, what are we praying for? Certainly, right along with our topic, right, as we're inventorying what we're doing, you know, What are we praying for? I always think about that at sporting events, don't you? When you see those when you see those athletes go to their corner of the ring, on the field, praying. What are they praying for? To win the other team? And so whose God is more powerful? Anyway, let's not talk about them. Let's talk about ourselves. We're talking about inventorying, about jettisoning some of the things that we don't need in our inventory, certainly when it comes to prayer. Our prayers need to be a lot more, not just a little more, a lot more real as we make that transition from faith to belief. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's not easy. But it makes life real, you know? Anyway, I'm going to come back to it. I told you I'm going to talk a little bit about insanity as well. But first, before we get too insane, I'm going to let Susie tell us what's going on right now. She's got a small little message for us to put us back into track, and I'll be back right after this.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
Are you in the Christmas spirit? At epostle.net, you can say we're always in the spirit, and we'd like to share that holiday cheer with you. Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, reminding you that your generous contributions has launched us to a worldwide audience. The next step with Father Vazquez, now in its third year of production, is the voice of Armadoxy on 5 continents. We look forward to your continued support, and as a way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan.
Go to Yev Parabanu Tunasenke Stedastvat or Nutian Yev Kohabanu Tianoki Turme Stedastvat Twilerin Yev Karikavernerin Oknir Stedastvat Pahpanir Yevimastutian Hoki Turme Stedastvat
Produced in 2008 in collaboration with In His Shoes, Gor Mkhitaryan offers folk medleys and powerful poetry to express Armenian spirituality in the 21st century. We'd like to offer this spirit to you. For your tax-deductible donation in any amount, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our websites, inhisshoes.org or epostle.net, and press on the donate button. It's safe and secure. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Merry Christmas to all. May it be filled with God's abundant blessings for you and your family. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie. What an offer. What an offer. Yes. We really appreciate it. It's not so much to give you a CD. It's just a way of saying thank you for all of your support throughout the years. Thank you for your support right now. And your support is needed as we expand. Yeah, we do need microphones. We do need computer equipment to get this word out. And, of course, bandwidth is at a premium. We find it difficult sometimes to find space. Some of you have told us that you've downloaded some of the older podcasts, you've listened to them, and when you've gone back to refer to them, yeah, sometimes they don't exist any there anymore, because the people who are holding on to the files, we need to pay them. And certainly we're up against the clock right now, as my church is going out of business on the 31st, and we're going to be next couple days, we're going to be frantic as we start downloading all of our stuff. So, of course, the internet is dynamic, it is moving. running, and at the same time there are expenses. The different models for internet podcasting are changing as we speak, and so different companies come into being, and you know, it's all relatively new. We need money to keep up with the pace, and so this is a ministry. This is a ministry. It's a way of getting God's word out there into, like we say, it's basically apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. And if you're inclined to be part of that in a financial way, please make your donation. We'll be happy to send you out this Spirit album. I got to tell you, it's full of spirit. I refer to it all the time. It is, the words are in Armenian, but there are liner notes with English translations, the melodies, the riffs, the licks, just beautiful. We did this a couple years ago with artist Gor Mkhitaryan, and we look back with it with a lot of fondness and a lot of pride. You'll feel it when you hear the music. It's also available on our website. You can download it. You can order it. Go to inissues.org. We're all over there. Hey, listen, the last portion of this podcast, and of course ending up this year, I want to talk about insanity. And It all stems from what happened over the past week. And Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, two heartbeats away from the presidency. The Armenians were waiting for her to take the Armenian resolution, the genocide resolution, before Congress. They were going to pass it. Nancy Pelosi didn't do her job. She didn't do what she promised. Like, what are we supposed to say at this point? No duh? Anyway, No. I won't say it. But I will point you to a video clip that we've done, and it's on our website. Okay, you can check it out. It's the Next Step Answer to the Armenian Genocide. And I challenge you to watch it. It's a 50-minute video. It's a lecture that I gave at Glendale Community College last year, in which I talked about leveraging the power of love. And in so doing, I came up with this quote that Albert Einstein had told us. In no uncertain terms, he said, "What is the definition of insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting to get different results." I mean, surely in science, that's true, right? I mean, you prove things how? By doing the experiment over and over and over and over again, and it's proven when you get the same results. So insanity automatically would be if you expected to get different results doing the same things. Yeah, that would be insane. But somehow when it comes to politics, we forget about this. And so the Armenians, the poor Armenians, they went out and they thought that Nancy Pelosi would be their advocate. She's sleeping with the Turks, but it's okay. She's out there. She's going to be our advocate. And of course, she just shafted the Armenians again. This is the second time she's done that. So doing the same things, expecting different results, insanity. And I want to point you to that very important video clip that's up on our website. Because we identified this problem and we said that there is a way out of that insanity. And the way out is on self-reliance. It's believing in ourselves. It's having the confidence that God puts in us, that we are children of God. Hrimyan Hayrik was one of the great thinkers of the Armenian people, in that he was a very practical man. No, not thinker in the sense that he had this education. He wasn't from Harvard or Oxford. No, he was a very practical man. And he came back from Berlin, where he represented the Armenian people. And from that meeting that he attended in Berlin, this is 1860, he comes back and he tells Armenian people, he says, "Don't rely on others. You cannot rely on other people. Rely on yourselves. Rely on the power of your own weapons." And what are the weapons that we have? Traditionally, when we talk about bringing peace to the earth, when we talk about protecting our rights, we talk about weapons of destruction. What I'm challenging you to do is look at the weapons of peace. Look at the weapons that really can change the world. And those are the weapons that we've been given through our Christian faith. the weapons of love, the weapons of reaching out, the weapons of saying that I have confidence in myself. I don't need a Nancy Pelosi or a Barack Obama to tell me that a genocide happened, because I know it happened. And because it happened, I need to do something for the rest of the world. I need to make a statement today about what's going on in Darfur. Our good friends Gabriel Starring, KDJ, returned from Darfur this week. Returned from the refugee camps at Chad. They have documentation. I want to point you to those websites. They will be on our show notes today. Stop Genocide Now. Check out their websites. Look at what they're doing. And we've got to start thinking that, hey, we were all children of genocide. I'm not just talking to the Armenian population. Of course, I know we have a large number of people who are listening to us, non-Armenians, and you're saying, well, what about for us? Each of us has difficulties in our own lives, have struggled through so much in our own lives. Now, you don't let that just become part of your past. You do something that will affect the future by taking that past and making something out of it, making something positive for the world today. Jesus came out of a situation where the world hated him, put up on a cross, and he gave us what? Not crucifixion, but resurrection. A promise that, yes, love is more powerful than that power of evil. And so I'm challenging you today, as you inventory, you're at the end of the year, to really have an end-of-the-year sale. Get rid of some of the excess garbage in your life. And as you're getting rid of it, realize that you do have the power to make the changes. You don't need to rely on politicians, definitely. You don't need to rely on people who will let you down. You do need to rely on the only one who cannot let you down, and that is the power of love. You may call it God, you may call it the power of the universe, but it all comes down to that very simple thing, which is love. Believe in love. Believe that it can overcome the greatest of darkness. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall never, never step in darkness. Well, of course he's the light of the world. He's love incarnate. That love is light. It gives you the power to penetrate darkness, to see in the darkness, to overcome that darkness. Looking ahead, 2011 is a beautiful year. It's a beautiful year because it's an opportunity for us to overcome our darkness. This year, Easter Sunday, the Feast of Resurrection for all churches, East-West, falls on April 24th, the ultimate day of darkness, the beginning of the first modern genocide. April 24th will give us a chance to look at the power of light. Are you with me? You want to do something about it? This is where we're headed. That's my vision for 2011, and I know we're going to do it with God's help. This has been a beautiful year. I said earlier in the podcast that for me, something very special happened last Sunday during my sermon. I realized that my dream had come true. That for 30 years as a priest of the Armenian Church, I've been struggling to make the Armenian Church viable, to make it a voice, to make it the body of Christ for the people. And this year, with all of these programs that we saw, with all of these different things that we put together, it became the body of Christ. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the people at the Youth Ministry Center. I want to thank Susie. I want to thank my crew over here, Ani and Ken. I want to thank all the background people, Yeritskin, Susan, Anush, people who are there who are supporting us from the back and telling us that it can happen. I want to thank all of you, because with your help, we were able to move this into the light. We were able to take something as tragic as genocide and make the body of Christ shine as a power of love and as a power of life. I wish you the best in the coming year. I want to say it before it happens. Happy New Year to all of you. Ken, thank you very much. Susie, you're the best. Ani, love those bubbles. Always will. So for the great crew that puts this together, and before I say that, hey, please visit us on our website, inhisshoes.org and epostle.net. You can't miss these places. They're great for all of your resources. And for the wonderful crew that puts this together, for Susie, our producer, Ken up in the booth, Ani in her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next year when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other author.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.